Lord God, we are so grateful to you that you are interested in all of our lives, the whole of our lives. And we want to pray today for all those people we know who are away on holiday. We ask you that this will be a special time, that they will be refreshed and renewed and have a time of peace and tranquility. We pray for those who are busy today, getting ready for camp, whether it's WEC camp or a brownie camp or whatever. We pray that you will give them strength and support, and that in between all of the jobs they have to do, you will grant to them a time of peace and relaxation too. We pray for all the work that will be done with children over the summer. We pray for all of the plans that are being made for the summer activities here in the village, and especially ask you for this afternoon, for that Olympic special that's going on. And Lord, in the midst of all this busyness, we also remember the people who need your special care. And we ask you particularly for Noel and for Elizabeth. And we pray for Elvira and Judith and Charles in their loss of John. And we remember before you any other who needs your care, Lord. And we ask you that in this stillness you will prepare our hearts for worshipping you and for hearing from you. Because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. At the meeting on Tuesday, church meeting, David jokingly said that I was going to cover the whole of the last 6 months and maybe the last year. I'm not really quite sure what I am covering. I leave it to you to decide what I've covered and what I haven't, all right? All I know is that it's always fascinating to me that whatever we're hearing on a Sunday, at home, when I do my Bible reading in the morning, just something pops up and I say, oh, that's a reminder of something we did on Sunday. Oh, now that's very interesting. And it all pulls together. And it wouldn't be the first time that David got an email at 6 o'clock in the morning to say, oh, isn't this wonderful? Because I know he does the same Bible reading. And then Eileen and I'll have a chat because she does the same Bible reading. And that's something special, I think, about being in the church. When you know that someone else is doing the same Bible reading as you today, then you think, oh, I must mention that and see what they thought about that. It's really good. So I promote Bible reading notes. Speak to Eileen afterwards, Eileen Patterson, and she will make sure that you get all the same Bible reading notes. But also, sadly, I don't think it's just my age, I think it's just the mentality I have. I can hold on to things for a certain length of time and then suddenly they flit away and they pop back again occasionally. So in May, I spoke to David about what I might do for a service, and then the service got pushed back a bit and I've forgotten most of what I planned to do. So we're starting today remembering, first of all, that we are made in the image of God. And how often do we turn it around and think of God being made in our image? One of the things about the church today is we become so close because of Jesus that we forget the holiness of God if we're not careful. So we've been talking about our holiness and the fruit of the Spirit in us. Now, I want to look at it from God's perspective this morning. So we're looking at God this morning, his holiness, and we're going to sing a hymn that it's an old hymn, so you'll all know it. It's wonderful. But it's taken from Revelation and also Isaiah about holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So we'll stand and sing because this gives us a picture of what the holiness of God is like and what heaven is like. Lord God, we want to say we know you are holy. We know you are set apart, that you are pure and lovely. We know, because we've read about it and because people have said, that there are those who worship you in heaven now. And this morning we want to join with them. We want to join with angels. We want to join with cherubim and seraphim. We want to bow down with the saints and worship you. And we want to acknowledge that you are God, that you are our creator, that you are our sustainer, and that you give to us so much. We simply want to worship you this day. And help us as we think about your holiness, help us to grasp a little of what you are like, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you don't mind about this, but I feel as though we presume a lot about God. We talk a lot about God and we say so much about him, and some of the things we're not really quite sure about. There's a mystery, God in three persons, and we talk about it and we have an idea up here of what God in three persons is. How much do we really know, and how much are we going along with in faith? Also, merciful and mighty, gosh, these are two contrasts. And yet we have seen in Jesus that contrast, haven't we? That merciful and mighty power. And what is heaven like? We sing about cherubim and seraphim. Gosh, know what they're like? About the glassy sea. What is all of that about? What is heaven like? We talk about God being hidden. We sang about God being hidden because he's a mystery, because we don't know everything about him, and yet revealed to us in Jesus. So we can grasp something of what God is like through what Jesus was like, what we heard about him. The reality, one day every knee shall bow down, it says, and we believe it, and we shall know what it's all about. Gosh, that's amazing, isn't it? Are you looking forward to that? Somebody said not yet. Looking forward to it. So we're made, again, I'm going back to say, we're made in God's image, not him in ours. But we forget that and we take him for granted. I've got a little story now. It's about the Frenchmen and the Bedouins. Someone said, that sounds like a joke. Actually, it's not really. And I think it's a true story. I heard it on retreat, and I'll mention retreat later if I remember. One day, some Frenchmen went and joined a group of Bedouin, and they lived with them for a while. Saw what it was like to live in the tent with the camels, goats or sheep, not sure. And gosh, how different it was from their life. Because then they invited the Bedouin to make a return trip to France with all the wonderful cafes outside, the green scenery, the Eiffel Tower. It's all wonderful. But imagine how strange it was for the Bedouin. And then just the final thing, they were taken into the Alps to see a waterfall. And the Bedouin stood before this waterfall, all this water gushing down. They couldn't believe it, how extravagant God was. And the Frenchmen, having shown them the waterfall, tried to urge them on, pull them away, and they said, no, we're going to stop here until the water stops. Because they could not believe the mad extravagance of God. I found that story very moving when I thought about it, because God is extravagant and we take it so much for granted, don't we? Every morning we get up and say, oh, lovely day, oh, look at the clouds, they're very nice, yes, lovely. But do we inside say, gosh, this is amazing? And we see the extravagance in creation. We see the extravagance in the sky and the water, the seas, the beauty of it all. We see the extravagance in the food that grows and the beauty of the flowers that grow. And we see the extravagance of God in the fruit of the Spirit that is in Him. We've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit that can happen in us. But all of that fruit of the Spirit is there in Him. He is all of those wonderful things we've been talking about. I want to say, we forget. We take Him for granted. And we're sorry. Because actually we should be, shouldn't we? But deep down when we think about it, we realise that actually this isn't the way it should be. So let's just pray for a moment. Lord God, as we have thought about your extravagance, the extravagance of all of the things that are around us, the whole of creation, the whole of the things that we can see and the things beyond that we can't even imagine or see, and the extravagance of your great love for us, Lord God, we want to say we are so sorry because we take it all for granted. We forget. Oh yes, in a good moment, we perhaps say thank you, God, yes, and we are truly thankful. But somehow we don't actually engage with the extravagant love that you showed to us. Please will you help us? Please will you forgive us first of all, and will you help us to look out for your extravagance and revel in it? And we know because it says in your word that when we say we're sorry, you forgive us. So we say, please Lord, will you forgive us for the way we've taken you for granted? And will you help us in the future to pay you more attention and to give you more credit, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song of penitence, really. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Now, I'm sure you all know the fruit of the Spirit by now. Who knows them off by heart? I bet you there's somebody here who knows them. Yeah, I thought there would be. You know, do you know a jingle or is it just that you had to learn them? You just had to learn them. Okay, I bet you can do the first four. I expect everybody to be able to do the first four in the right order. What's the first one? Come on. What? Love, joy, peace, patience. That's a good four, isn't it? Now what comes next? Because I can't remember. Kindness. Is that right? Next one? Sorry? Goodness? Yes? Next? Gentleness? Yeah, self-control is the last one. Have we done them? Oh, no, no. There's one very important one. Is it just one we've missed out? Faithfulness. Do you know, I think that's about the most... No, it's not the most important. It is... Oh, dear. Shut up, Jill. It's very important, faithfulness. Very good. Okay, so we've been looking at each of those individually, all right? As I was thinking about it, I was going to focus just on that part, you see, originally, and then we did 1 Peter. And when we looked at 1 Peter, there's some sort of similarities in there. So that in 1 Peter 3, you've got this whole idea of living in harmony, being sympathetic, living as brothers, being compassionate, being humble. They're all fruit of the Spirit, aren't they? So you've got a parallel there. But then there was a third parallel, And because we were doing, what were we doing? Were we doing Exodus? I can't remember what we were doing.
Okay.
Sorry?
Okay.
Oh, I know, recently. Oh, never mind. Your memory is as bad as mine. The Ten Commandments. I thought, now, just a minute. In the Ten Commandments, what do you remember what the first commandment is, roughly? Okay, mutter. Yeah, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, basically, yes. And then it goes through a list of all these do's and don'ts, which are all to do with... I can't hear. Things you shouldn't do, yes, but what is this related to? We talk about God first, and then how you behave with other people, basically. Okay, so you've got the whole idea that you've got these qualities, and then how you behave is incredibly important. And then the crowning glory, really, is what Jesus said, I think. As if by magic. Jesus said, and there's one missing here, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. There's one missing out of that. With all your strength. And love your neighbour as yourself. And that summarises it all. And of course, within Jesus, we see all the fruit of the Spirit, God's Spirit. Do you know, it seems to me, since I was a girl, when we didn't talk about the Holy Spirit too much, but we did talk about God's Spirit, that there's almost become a disconnect of the Holy Spirit with God. Now, that's probably just in my thinking. So I'm going to talk about God's Spirit, all right? Because it's God's Spirit within Jesus that made him the one he is. That it's God's Spirit in us that produces all of these. But it's no good having all of those qualities inside us. That is useless. Unless our actions show those, then it's pointless, isn't it? So putting God first and having him at the centre of your life with all of everything you've got, and then loving other people with all of those qualities, that's important. Last Sunday we sang, May the Fragrance of Jesus Fill This Place, and I nearly had it again. But then there's a song that, this song has been going through my head all through this series on the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know how many people know it. It's a schism chorus. Thank you, Geoffrey. Good, you and I will sing. Oh, actually, Geoffrey. Oh, I'm just thinking of your singing. Oh, dear. Right, well, quite a few of us know it. What we'll do, we'll ask David to play it through once, and then we'll sing it through twice. Lynn, you must know this. If it's so simple to let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, it sounds so easy, doesn't it? Why is it? My memories of reading through Peter's letter, but probably the second one more, is that he uses the phrase, try even harder. Very school teacher-y is Peter. Try even harder to make God's call and his choice of you a permanent experience. Try harder to do this. Why have you got this... you've got this idea that God will do it by his Spirit in us, and yet we have to do our bit, all right? So you've got these two together. So Jesus said, I can't remember, there's another one there. Is there another one? Jesus said, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. Do you do that? And your neighbour as yourself. I'm going to show you now There's a video coming up now, and it's, you may think, gosh, this is going on a bit. I want you to think about this lady. We think it's a bit like Britain's Got Talent, and this lady's doing a performance, so you'll see the judges and their responses, and you'll hear the responses of the crowd. I want you to think about this lady and what is happening, what she's doing, and in order to do it, what she needs. You'll get the gist when it starts. Okay, thank you. It all depended on the feather, didn't it? What did she need? Not yet. What would you say were the qualities that she needed? What did she need to do to be able to do that? Anything?
Concentration.
Sorry?
Concentration.
Concentration. Strength.
Practice.
Self-control.
Patience.
Perseverance. Interesting. Did you see her face? If you looked at her face, she was absolutely focused. I don't think she heard the applause. I don't think she heard what people were saying. And it was only after it was completely finished that she stepped out of the circle and could smile. Now, why on earth have I done that? I was trying to get an illustration that would say, what is it like? How do we live a life that actually is focused on God and loving Him, and for that love to go out to other people? And yet we do it. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we don't do it at all, but how do we do it so it's a permanent thing? Actually, that I suddenly realized that quote I said from 2 Peter was about try even harder to make God's call and His choice of you a permanent experience. If you do so, you'll never abandon your faith. Actually, making this a permanent experience is so important. How do we get this balance right between all of the things that need to happen? These are the things that I made a note of, but that's not the whole. You've already mentioned some other things. In order to cooperate with God, we need to practice, actually, don't we? Need to practice every day, cooperating with God. Every day to say, Lord God, here is today. Please, will you help me to cooperate with you? And trying to get the balance between ourselves and God and other people is a sort of permanent triangle, isn't it? We're going to think in a minute about how we can do that. And I guess really I want to say that we sing some of the songs we sing, very lovely, beautiful, beautiful singing. But sometimes, just sometimes, I think, do we really mean that? Do we really mean that? We're going to sing As the Deer Pants for the Water, So My Soul Longs After You. Longs after you. Is that something that really is there? This is what I really long for you, God. And sometimes it will be. But sometimes we sing the words and they don't mean all that they should. Let's stand and sing that next. I wonder if during the course of the Fruit of the Spirit series, God has spoken to you about anything in particular. Sometimes we get a challenge and it's easy to forget when we go away what that challenge has been. I wonder if you've had any insights at all. have to say that for myself, there has been one. I'm not going to tell you all about it either. But it came as a shock, really, to realise when I looked afresh at my life that there were areas that I needed to do something about. And particularly in my relationship with some people. You see, it's very easy to sit in a group, whether it's discovery group, whether it's a group of seniors, whatever, or any other house group, and to say, yeah, patience, oh gosh, we are so bad at that, aren't we? Oh yes, and we all mutter and we say yes. We're not very good at patience, and we can leave it there. And of course, we're not very good at patience, let's be honest. There are lots of other things we're not very good at either. We're very good at loving some people. We're very good at faithfulness, both to God and to each other, some of the time. And I guess we'll never be completely perfect until we get to glory. But in the meantime, what do we do? How can we help each other? Here we are, set in this family of God, some of us missing, but we're here. What can we do to help each other? We're meant to help each other. But sadly, it doesn't always work out. Sometimes it's in the church where it's harder to be all these wonderful things than it is to people outside. When I was teaching, I still can't get over this now, looking back. Of course, it was a long time ago when I was teaching. But one of the songs we used to have in assembly was, "Help us to help each other, Lord." I'm thinking, gosh, this was a primary school, you know? Help us to help each other, Lord. Each other's cross to bear. I'm thinking, what did the children make of that, I wonder? But how do we help each other? How can we cooperate with each other? To be holy, to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. And this is the crux, isn't it, for us as a church. We've invited a new minister, and he's going to be wonderful. What are we going to do when he gets here? There is a verse in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, just in case you want to look it up. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. And people have been quite complimentary about how we've improved, but actually, be careful that we don't fall. So here we are. William and I were talking yesterday and saying we've known each other for 30 or 40 years. And how much do we know about each other? Really? We know some things. But so much we don't know. And getting to know each other is incredibly important. That's what I think we need to work on, really. Some of you are better at it than I am, I have to say. And of course, we pray for one another, especially when things are going wrong, you know. So we pray for one another. My dear husband said we should look one another in the eye. The thing about looking one another in the eye, it does mean the eyes are the window of the soul. Actually, when you look someone in the eye, you know how they're feeling. If you really do look them in the eye. And they don't actually need to say, I'm having a really rough day, actually. Because you can see that. But we can walk on by people. We can say, hello, how are you? When we were members in a church in St. Albans, 45 years ago, and we had a superb minister, a little dapper man, always looked so smart, shoes polished, and he had been a lecturer at Bristol Baptist College, and he was just so lovely, because he wasn't just a preacher, he could preach. What was that phrase he always used to use? I can't remember what he used now. He always had a phrase, and we used to nudge each other. Sorry?
Wasn't
were.
Oh, yes, as it were. I don't know how many as it were's he'd used during the sermon, but we hadn't been there long, and he said, I'd like to come and see you in your home. I said, lovely. So he came one evening, and he came in, and we were living in an old cottage, really, and we had a coal fire, and he sat down, and he crossed his ankles, and there were his lovely shiny shoes, you know. He really relaxed in the chair, and, oh, this is lovely. And we chatted for about 3/4 of an hour or so. And then he said, now, how would I get to Codicott from here, or whatever it was? I've got a meeting there. It was about 1/4 of an hour later, you know. And you're thinking, he didn't walk in. He didn't walk in and say, now, I'm sorry, I've only got 3/4 of an hour here with you. He didn't start like that at all. He just didn't say a thing. He just sat there, relaxed, chatted away, and then said, now how do I get to, because I have to be there. And he'd given us his full attention, and he was like that by the door in the church, you know, when he said, good morning, how are you? He wasn't looking at someone else. He was really concentrating on you. He was replaced by another minister, and I shall never forget the day when he shook my hand and he was clearly looking at someone else over my shoulder. And, you know, I felt as though I wanted to say something really outrageous to him so that he would just say, yes, I agree, you know. But doesn't it make a difference if someone is concentrating on you? And it's quite hard in church, particularly after church on a Sunday morning, when you know you've got to see people, you know there are, you know, I mustn't miss so-and-so this morning. But people come and talk to you, and you want to give them your full attention, but you can't somehow. What do you do about that? I think we all need to be a little bit more sensitive with each other as well, because sometimes people will come in and talk, join a conversation, when actually it's probably been quite a quiet, personal one. So we need to be a little bit more thoughtful about the way we treat each other, I think, and give each other the look in the eye, make an effort to get to know one another better, make allowances for each other. I wonder how many times you've been upset because someone has said something or has said something in a particular way. And it's so easy, isn't it, to think, how dare they? Shouldn't speak to me like that. What's that about then? But actually, if you just stop a minute and say, I wonder what's going on in that person's life, there must be something happening there. And I'm not saying you actually talk to them about it necessarily, but just presume that what upset you wasn't meant to upset you. So watch what you say to me after the service, all right? Okay, so this coming month, August, and into September, we are leading the services as house groups. And the reason for doing this wasn't just because we wanted to fill up the Sundays, but because we wanted to introduce ourselves to each other. That's the aim of these services, that we'll get to know each other a little bit from the things that happen in the service, the things that we say about our relationships with God and about our relationships with each other. Okay? So that's what's happening during August. So come and enjoy that getting to know you bit. But most of all, I think we need to pray for God's Spirit to sweep through us. And God's Spirit can do that, but only as we allow God's Spirit to do that. He can only do it fully when we're ready and wanting him to do that. So we're going to close our service with this hymn. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Let's do that and then we'll have a prayer. Lord God, what we've sung is the prayer of our heart. You know how much we need reviving, restoring. You know how much we need fresh zeal, fresh enthusiasm. Lord, you know us through and through. And you know how we desire to be a church equipped for this hour, for this moment in time, as we move into the community, as we prepare for Andrew's coming. Lord, we ask you that you will help us to help each other in our prayers, in our attitudes to one another, in our support for one another. Be pleased, Lord, to pour out your Spirit upon us, sweep through us as a church, and give us all that we need so that we can be your witnesses in this world. Because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.